Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Kathy Polino, Director of the Secretary of State Audit Division. As you know, we've returned to this committee. We were here at the September meeting. And we're here to ask for a $40,000 appropriation to pay for a portion of the Deschutes County Delinquent Youth Demonstration Project audit. As you'll recall, we were here at the last meeting asking for $250,000 to pay for the full cost of the audit. Chair Winters asked us to go back and have a meeting with all the major stakeholders to discuss possible funding options for this audit. We've done that. We'd like to share with you the results of that meeting and other things that have happened on this audit since the last board meeting. October 19th is when we had this meeting that had at least 20 participants. It was a very popular meeting and a number of people attended. So you know some of the people in attendance, Representatives Westlin and Doyle were there. Representative Williams phoned in. He was there by phone. We had Attorney General Myers was there, a number of folks from the Department of Justice, folks from the Oregon Youth Authority, Deschutes County, many other juvenile justice professionals, Crime Victims United was there, and we feel at that meeting we got a real good idea of what all the concerns are with regard to this study. We were also able to share with those folks some of the things that have happened as far as our audit and being able to scope the work since the last meeting. I'd like to share that with the committee here. Since the last meeting, we've been able to meet with folks from the University of Oregon who have been studying this issue for a long time. And so we got a good feel for the information that they've gathered and what we'll be able to use as part of the audit work that we're doing. We've also had a chance to go to Deschutes County, tour the facilities, take a look at the information that they have and see what's available for us to do our audit work. We've also had some time to really scope out the work itself and to get a good feel for the objectives and what portion of those objectives we'll be able to pay for with our already established audit assessment and which portion is left unfunded at this point. Just to give you a brief idea of the objectives of the audit, we have two main objectives. A little bit of background, the Deschutes County Pilot Project was established in 97, and during last session it was extended for two additional years, and with this caveat in the meantime that we come in, do an audit on, to give some idea on the success of the program. It's our understanding that there are a number of other counties that want to have a similar pilot project in their counties, so there will need to be some decisions made in the near future on whether this pilot project should be continued in Deschutes County, eliminated or expanded to other counties. Our plans for this audit, there's two main objectives. One is to take a look at youth that have gone through this program, to take a look at what has happened to them since the outcomes of the program, take a look at the services that they've been provided, and have a comparison between that group that went through that system versus if they would have came into the state Oregon Youth Authority system and what would have happened to them through this system. So we're going to have a comparison group, try to put together two groups with similar characteristics. It's going to be very difficult, but we've got our statisticians on staff to go ahead and try to put together those two groups. The second piece of that is to take a look at the cost to provide the services. And we're going to provide a comparison of what it costs to serve these juveniles in Deschutes County, both state funds, local funds, and community resources that were put into that serving those youth versus what would happen at the state level. So we hope to provide a really good comparison on those two groups in both situations, what would have happened if they would have gone to the Deschutes County program versus what would have happened to them if they would have gone through the alternate. After going through and scoping out that work, working with all those parties, what we have left is basically about $40,000 worth of audit work that would be specifically at Deschutes County and the local funds portion of the audit. We've been told that we cannot use our state audit assessments to audit those local funds. We can audit state funds that go to local programs, but not the local funds themselves. That's the sticky portion that we're at, and we're looking for some guidance from the committee on where to turn.
Could you repeat that? I'm not sure I followed that last.
Sure. Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, the Attorney General is opining that our audit assessments, what we do is we assess state agencies against their state funds to pay for our audits of state government. We are able to follow state dollars to the local counties to see how they're using it. This Senate Bill 384 that requires us to do this audit required us to look at not only the state funds, but also the local funds and other funds used by Deschutes County. And the Department of Justice is opining that we can't use our state assessments to audit local funds. Basically, what we're left with is two options, and Representative Westland and Doyle and Williams at this meeting recommended that we come back to you here today, ask for $40,000 to pay for this portion of the audit. The other option, if we don't get funded, would be for us to go out and do the work and bill the counties for that work, that portion of the work.
The $40,000 is to audit the state portion of the cost of this program, is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, that would cover the local funds portion
local
of
funds.
The Deschutes County Juvenile Corrections Program. The state portion we can pay for through our state audit assessments, and then also the comparison at the Oregon Youth Authority, looking at their program and their services we can pay for with our already established assessments.
Okay, thank you.
Kathy, could you tell me the difference between the $250,000 amount that was brought before us last time and the $40,000 amount?
Sure. Madam Chair, the audit itself is still going to cost around $200,000. We've had a chance to, again, take a look at information that was out there and find out a way to scope it. We're estimating at this point we have about four staff that will be working on this for a six-month period, and that calculates out to about $200,000. So we've been able to scope it down a little bit, but this is a very large, one of the most difficult parts of this is we're going to have to take a look at this group of juveniles that have gone through these programs and then find out what happened to them after they left. And it's very difficult to do and to track them down. So what a lot of the audit work is going to be doing, kind of investigation work, trying to find out, you know, have they gone back to school? Have they gotten jobs? Have they returned to criminal behavior? And we'll be looking at those youth and going through. The other difficult piece of it is going to be that cost piece and getting an idea of what it costs to serve a juvenile in Deschutes County through this program versus what it costs to send someone to the state system. And because you're going to have to take a look at, you know, there's a portion of the cost, the fixed cost and the variable cost we're going to need to work through. And again, the other piece of this is there is that time deadline, is we have to have this done by June 30th of next year, according to statute. So we need to get really rolling on this pretty soon. And so our estimate is four staff for about 6 months.
Madam Chair, Patty McGuire, Deputy Secretary of State. And one of the things that's happened between September and now is we sent staff over to look at the work that the University of Oregon study has been doing. What we didn't know then was whether that data was usable by our auditors. The vast majority of it is, which is providing a significant cost savings because a lot of the raw data has been gathered. We believe it's true, it's accurate, and is usable by our staff, and so we don't need to go do that again. And that was information we didn't have in September that we do have now.
Thank you. Madam Chair.
And is that not information which part of the money that was originally for the Deschutes County products that they have paid for through that program themselves? So that audit was, or that audit by the University of Oregon was paid by the program itself. Thank you.
Thank you.
So if I'm to understand this correctly, the $200,000, roughly $200,000 cost of the overall project, that's going to be paid for by some of the money that's been used for the University of Oregon study, is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader.
$200,000 on top of the work that's been done by the study.
No, that is the rest of the audit will be paid for by our own other funds, our state audit assessments. We have staff available that are already funded through our state assessments.
I guess I'm getting more concerned instead of less concerned. How much money was spent by the University of Oregon on this project?
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, I don't know at the amount to date. They have been studying it for a long time, and my understanding is they had a plan to study it for a number of other years. My understanding is the contract has been shortened up, and I think they're supposed to be done by June 30th also.
Madam Chair, originally, when the legislation was introduced, we contracted with University of Oregon to do the audit study of our program because we wanted a record of how our program was doing. And it was my understanding at that time that it was $150,000 that we allocated out of our program money, out of our savings in the program that we had, to be used to pay the University of Oregon for this. Now, if that's been cut back, I'm not aware of it. I've been gone. I was not able to be at that meeting that you discussed earlier. So if it's cut back, I don't know. But we did allocate $150,000 to the University of Oregon. We did contract with them to do that. And I'm glad to hear that a lot of things the University of Oregon did has been very helpful to you, because the most we can stop duplication and get the facts and figures. And I had one more question, if I might.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that you would be doing all the tracking and whatnot that needs to be done, which I think is excellent. They do that in the Youth Challenge program over at Bend, the military program we have. Now, we do the same thing in OYA.
Madam Chair, Senator Clarno, that's our plan, is to find two groups with very similar characteristics and compare.
I mean, currently we know in OYA wherever youth is that we've had the system.
Madam Chair, Senator Clarno, I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, it just seems like we ought to. That's a very good process to know where they are, because they do in that military program definitely have the figures on where the youth went and the recidivism rate. And I guess I would just share that if we need to have those figures in the Deschutes County project, which I agree we do, then we also need to be sure that we have those same things in our Oregon Youth Authority program. And that would be a model for any other projects like this that they could use to determine those figures. Thank you.
Mr. McGuire, did you want to make a comment?
Sure.
Okay. Any other?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I just had one other point. We do have other audits of juvenile justice requirements that were in Senate Bill 1 from 1995 a while ago that may also face the same funding crisis in the future. Just to alert you to that, we are currently conducting an audit right now of the Juvenile Justice Information System. And what we hope to get from that audit is an idea of whether the information in the system on the county programs is comparable and reliable. And if that audit turns out that the information is comparable and reliable, we'll be able to gather a lot of this information without a lot of extra cost in the future. On the other hand, if the audit goes the other way and says that the system can't provide that information, then what our plan is to develop kind of a long-range plan, because we'll need to do a lot more auditing out of the counties as opposed to getting it off the system. And so we plan then to come back to the next legislative session with a long-range plan on how to pay for these audits.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah, two quick ones. One is, what is the range? The Secretary of State's office does a lot of audits, or at least the audit division. What is the range of cost of audits that you generally do?
Oh, Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, we have done audits that are as small as $4,000, and we have done, I would say recently, I believe probably the largest was a series of audits we did at the Oregon Department of Transportation, which was, I think, about five audits that totaled about $1 million.
Those were all statewide audits, is that correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, they varied depending on the objective. Within the Oregon Department of Transportation, there were five different objectives, looking at the transportation infrastructure plan. We looked at local use of funds in one of the audits. They all varied.
Okay.
He was very involved in those audits.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair. So the local county is collecting data regarding the recidivism of the youth that has gone through the pilot project, whether in their attending school, whether they are getting jobs, and whether they have gone back to committing crime again.
Madam Chair, Senator, they are collecting some of that.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to get a fuller picture of all that information and what's out there, and especially there's another portion of the audit. It's not just looking at the juvenile themselves, but also the community and the victims themselves, what's happened to them. Because part of this program is looking at both the prevention programs and then also restoring the community after a crime.
Mm-hmm.
So restitution and other programs.
Mm-hmm. Follow-up comments. So I think it's very important that they set up a system to collect these data. This way we can determine the effectiveness, the cost effectiveness of these programs. So please keep us informed on the, especially on the data collection part.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Yee, I think the other audit on the juvenile justice information system will be helpful in that area, because we're going to be looking at what information is being collected statewide by counties through this system, and will that provide information that you need to make your decisions, and information that professionals in this area need to be able to determine the effectiveness of programs.
Any other questions? Ms. Sexton?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you've noticed in the analysis from the Legislative Fiscal Office, our concern has been with the precedent that would be set by a specific special funding for the Deschutes County audit in the context of the Deschutes County audit taking place under the Senate Bill 1 requirement that the legislature in 2001 pulled out of the list of 36 counties this county project to evaluate for reasons that have been mentioned, that it is a pilot and the efficiencies and effectiveness of the program and the outcomes for the youth and the communities involved are an appropriate examination to determine whether this program is functioning the way it was intended. However, the fiscal office, because of the precedent for general funding of audits that are of local funds, where the program as a state program would have 35 other counties standing in line perhaps for financial assistance if the costs were to be such that they could not handle them, the Legislative Fiscal Office is recommending denial of the request. Points have been made by Ms. Polino regarding how the outcome of the Juvenile Justice Information Systems audit may be able to contribute to a lesser cost for future audits, and their suggestion that the outcome of that audit may allow them then to bring forward a long-term plan if the JGIS information is not sufficient to reduce costs of audits, that they would bring forward a long-term plan for looking at the other 35 mandated audits to create the statewide system review that is required by Senate Bill 1, as subsequently amended by Senate Bill 384 last session.
Thank you. Any other comments? Senator Carnell, do I have a motion?
Yes, I have. I would move that we accept this request for the $40,000.
Senator Pardo moves that we forward this recommendation to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Madam Chair, yes, I have some concerns about this. I really, especially after hearing the total cost here, we're not only have the $200,000 plus or minus and the $40,000, but we've got the $150,000 or so that's put into the basic part of pilot. And by definition, all these pilots that we do a lot of pilots. I think pilots have serve a very useful function. But by definition, they are supposed to demonstrate an outcome that is better than what we're doing already. So to me, that should be inherent in any bloody pilot project that's out there. So to go ahead and have a special audit and allocate more money for this is absurd. It's a gross maluse, I think, of our precious state resources, especially at this point in time. It doesn't make any sense at all to me. And the idea of the rest of the counties queuing up for the same reasonable benefit, I mean, if I was Clackamas County, I'm going to go home and say, hey, y'all got any pilots? You know, states ready to start paying for these. I mean, I think we're setting a very dangerous, very, very dangerous precedent here. We have to be very, very careful. And I respectfully submit that, you know, I love and respect my colleagues that serve on the substantive committees, but I don't think they understand sometimes how it works when it comes to budgeting. And I doubt that they really knew that it is not the province of the state of Oregon to pay for a local audit. So I guess I have some very, very serious concerns. This may be something I think deserves a fuller discussion even in maybe the full committee. This is a major issue for the state of Oregon and how this state legislature now and in the future begins to approach these things. I may be willing to vote this out as a courtesy so the full committee can talk about it, but I'm probably going to be a no vote if the full committee, Madam Chair.
Right.
Madam Chair, I just make the comment that I was out of this process when we developed this program in Deschutes County, and there's a lot of people in Deschutes County that work very hard in this program that believe in it so much to bring our youth home and put them through a 120-day program of education, being taught what they failed to learn in school for whatever reason, working out in the community. I've seen them build Habitat for Humanity houses. We've had meetings where I've sat by some of the kids. One I particularly remember said to me, "I've got to be a success. I'm 19 years old, and I have a little boy, he's 1 year old, and I can't go to jail. I've got to get out and earn a living to help my son. I want my son to end up like me." So there's a lot of folks in Deschutes County that have accepted this and already are paying out of the proceeds, because what we do is use the proceeds that we are able to save by having these kids out working in the community and keeping them, getting them to be functional again in the community. They've already used part of those proceeds that would have gone to the Children on Commission on Children and Families to be spent on programs decided by the lay citizens of that board. That money for the $150,000 audit, that's being spent out of the program. So, you know, to have to pay more for another audit is very seemingly unfair to many people in Deschutes County when we're trying to serve children and we're trying to make a difference in juveniles and get them in the community and turn them around. So if we have to be audited to say that and find out, and we may have some warts, and if we do have some warts, we want to identify them and make sure the program works. And if it works well, there shouldn't be any threat to Oregon Youth Authority or anyone else to have other counties do the same thing.
Madam Chair, is the money coming from juvenile justice system, which is the $40,000?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, the $40,000 would be out of the general purpose emergency fund. The audit assessment paid by the Oregon Youth Authority to the Secretary of State's Audits Division will be picking up a portion of the total audit cost. There was also additional data that was available from the University of Oregon study, so that the original estimate from the Secretary of State for the totality of the audit is now netted down to a remainder of $40,000 required to complete the audit, which is what's driving the request for the $40,000 general fund.
Mm-hmm. So the $40,000 is supposed to be paid by county funds, is now going to be paid by emergency general fund. I thought you mentioned it's coming from the juvenile justice system money.
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, there is another audit that was required by another bill of the juvenile justice information system. That is paid for out of a different set of funds, and I think Ms. Polina could tell me what those are. I don't have that information at hand. So in essence, the $40,000 general fund is covering the cost of auditing the Deschutes County local funds.
Mm-hmm. Well, the $150,000 with the university is another question, Madam Chair. The $150,000 is paid by the county?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess this is a difficult decision because we don't want to set a precedent of paying for what the county's share of money. But on the other hand, this is a pilot project and information other counties can benefit from. So maybe we can go to the general committee with no recommendation. Just let it be discussed at the big committee, big board.
In the poll, Mr. Dole, do you want to come up and address some of these questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'd just like to take a moment and take people back to 1995, because I think that's where maybe there's a little bit of confusion here. the intro to the juvenile code, which is 419C, calls for audits of every county. This county happens to have a pilot program, but the ultimate goals of these audits is to audit each county's juvenile program. Okay, so you've got two things going on here in essence. You've got a juvenile program in Deschutes County and a pilot project. But when the audits go out to the other programs, it's to audit each individual program as called for in 419C, which was revised, as Kathy said, in the 2001 session, because there was some question about being able to get certain records, certain paperwork, et cetera.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. Senator Klarna, would you like your motion to stand as it is?
Yes, please.
Okay. The motion on the table is to refer this, your GPAS recommendation, to the full committee?
Yes.
Any no votes?
Courtesy, yes, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. With that, thank you. All right. Let's move on to item 56, Department of Administrative Services grant application implementation. Morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. I'm John Santa from the Office of Oregon Health Policy and Research, and to my left is Kelly Friels from the Department of Administrative Services. I come before you this morning basically with four requests. The first is to approve an increase in our expenditure limitation by $133,821 as a result of the receipt of a grant from the Health Research and Services Administration. We did notify leadership when we applied for these funds. We did come before this committee in September and make you aware that we had applied, and since September we've received notice that we've received that grant. And we're asking for an increase in our expenditure limitation. Second, in a similar vein, is to ask for an expenditure limitation, increase in our expenditure limitation of $700,000 related to a Robert Wood Johnson grant. And we notified leadership of our application for this grant back in June, actually during the session. And we have since received the grant, and are asking for an increase in our expenditure limitation. The third request relates to an increase in our limitation because these funds can be matched. Since they're related, the Robert Wood Johnson grant is to assist in the preparation and implementation of Medicaid waivers related to the Oregon Health Plan. These dollars can be matched with federal dollars. And as a result of that, we're asking for an increase in our expenditure limitation of $1 million for those waiver-related activities. The office's activities are now focused on the waiver and on other activities involving Medicaid related to House Bill 2519 and Senate Bill 819. Those are Medicaid activities, so that general funds that the office has are now related to Medicaid activities and are eligible for match. And so we're asking that we be allowed to send those funds to OMAP, get match, and increase our limitation as a result.
Any questions?
One request. Could I get my pack for the waiver committee before the day of the meeting? Is that possible? I know it's a late appointee. It's kind of a...
Madam Chair, Representative Schrader, duly noted.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Madam Chair, Kelly Friel, Department of Administrative Services. We are recommending approval of this request. They're asking for $2.2 million of other fund expenditure limitation and $133,821 of federal funds. They're also asking for limited duration positions. They were requesting 3.65 equivalent positions. We modified that slightly down to 3.57 FTE, just for the record, but we are recommending approval of the request.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Legislative Fiscal Office also recommends approval with a slight adjustment for the FTE to 3.57.
Madam Chair, I would move that we accept the request and ask the full committee to approve the request.
Senator Carno moves that we forward, and LSO recommends that we move the recommended proposal to the full with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Representative Schrader, carry that.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Item number five, Commission on Children and Families.
This is the order of these things.
I think they try to group them, but not that they can't.
Probably based on your schedule, Sam.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Donna Middleton. I'm the Director of the Commission on Children and Families, and we are here with a request for spending limitation increase in two areas. The first area is a $285,000 other fund expenditure limitation increase for the Children's Ombudsman Program. This program in the 2001 session had some legislation attached to move the ombudsman responsibility out of the State Commission into one of several different areas, and though that legislation did not pass. And we were then requested, if in fact that legislation did not pass and we did not get the expenditure limitation to provide this service at the Commission, we were to come to the e-board and ask again for that spending limitation. So we're here today to do that in the amount of $285,000. The second part of our request is an other fund expenditure limitation for $200,000 from the National Crime Prevention Initiative. The State Commission is the lead agency for this initiative. This is a private nonprofit group that is working with us on community comprehensive planning and is providing us with resources to support that effort.
Any questions?
Madam Chair, we are recommending approval of this request.
Thank you. Sheila.
Madam Chair, Legislative Fiscal Office also recommends approval of the request in terms of the Children's Ombudsman. That is something that we anticipated during the session, that if the bills didn't pass, that the agency would be back in for expenditures limitation. And I would note on the second part of that, the National Crime Prevention Council grant, that is an other funds grant, and so the agency did not come in for specific application approval. They're not required to do so, but they do need the limitation to expend that.
Representative Schrader.
I move we approve the request.
Representative Schrader moves that we approve the request. Any objections? Amen. Representative Schrader, you want to carry that?
Yep.
All right. Department of Human Services, 1999-2001 budget closeout.
Madam Chair, somewhere is my boss out in the hall. If one of my colleagues can go get him, it would be helpful.
That's a hint.
Madam Chair, we have a number of issues in front of you today, as the agenda shows, starting off with the last biennium, and I have a handout here for that, which I'll make sure you all get.
Good morning.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Mink, Director of the Department of Human Services. It's really good to be here. It was, you know, it was 1 month ago today I was wheeled into surgery for a pituitary tumor. And I just thank God I'm back, you know, within a month. And I've been working part-time, just got back to full-time. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm just a little tired. But so what we have for you today, we have 13 items before you, and I'm going to rely on staff to do most of the work. I'll be doing the report on the reorg, but Doug and members of the cabinet will be doing the work. And all the members of the cabinet are here except for Barry Cast. And he's at a very important meeting with governor staff and legislators about bioterrorism in New York. And we need him there for that. So Margie Johnson, his deputy for the health services part of the new organization, will be helping us with that. And so with that introduction, I'll let Doug go ahead with the first item.
Okay, thank you. For the record, Doug Wilson, Assistant Director of the Department of Human Services for Finance and Policy Analysis. This is the final action for the legislature to take on the 9901 budget. We always come back at one of the first e-boards to close out basically the books and make sure we're in the right position so the books are closed. The big thing in this closeout is actually we've set it up so we can move forward about $5 million into the next biennium to address issues in the next biennium, and I can talk about that here as well as in when we have a report on the rebalance of the 0103 budget. Let me go through these relatively fast in terms of the items here. In the Children's, Adults, and Families group, in the old Adult and Family Services area, the first item for $6.7 million of federal funds, this is just a correction. In a previous e-board, the motion to the committee mistakenly reduced federal funds limitation for a non-limited spending, and we just need to catch up so we have enough federal limitation. We reduced it for the food stamp program, which is a non-limited, there is no expenditure limitation. So this is a housekeeping issue. The next item is the Jobs Plus program. There are two components of the Jobs Plus program. There's the program we operate for our clients in the division formerly known as AFS, dealing with public assistance clients, TANF, food stamp. Then there is the component of the program which is funded out of the unemployment insurance program that the employment department funds. We are the mechanism to get the money out to the employers. They send us money. And on our projections you presented during session, we did not have enough expenditure limitation for that portion of the program. That's what we're requesting is $1.3 million worth of expenditure limitation to handle their caseload of that program. This is the Jobs Plus program for the Employment Department. And then the final item under Adult and Family Services, this is part of the carry forward, and this is going to get a little complicated, and it's going to maybe hard to explain, but I'll try. I practiced on Senator Yee yesterday, so hopefully that helps out.
I know she's not here.
Yeah. Title 20, maybe that is. Title 20 is a Social Services Block Grant. We get funding from the federal government. A significant amount of federal funds comes into our department, and we use it for child welfare and the employment-related daycare program. We are not spending all that we anticipated to spend, making available for use in the next biennium. In AFS, that's just under $1 million, $860,000. And in SCF, which has the bulk of the Title 20 money, it's just a bit over $3 million. What we need to do, when you factor in maintenance of effort for TANF and the inability to carry forward general funds within the department, we do a little bookkeeping here to make sure we have those funds available to us next biennium to address issues. And what we do is we will take that Title 20 funds in each of those divisions and spend it, which frees up general fund. We transfer the general fund to OMAP and replace that, using that general fund to replace tobacco tax revenues, which then we can carry forward in the next biennium. The reason it's that complicated is around the maintenance of effort for TANF. If we free up general fund or use it to free up general fund in AFS or SCF, we have more flexibility in 9901 around our maintenance of effort requirements than we do in 0103. We are very near the line in 0103, and we have quite a bit of room in 9901 to meet our maintenance of effort. So that's the fancy bookkeeping, if you say. That's why we've done it this way. The end result is the excess federal funds allow us to push forward about, in this case, $4 million of funds into the next biennium to use to address issues there that will be, I'll report on in the, you know, amending or upcoming agenda item on the rebalance. That same issue is under services to children and families. So those are the same two issues. Under seniors and persons with disabilities, toward the bottom of the first page there, our caseloads and cost per case are up slightly in this relatively our second largest program, the long-term care system, in the division formerly known as SDSD. The details are there. Nursing facility caseloads are down. Substitute home cases are down a bit, but cost per cases for both of those are up. The net result of the entire system is $860,000 increase that we need. But we have funds elsewhere in this closeout plan to cover that. Cash assistance grants, general assistance, and the Oregon Supplemental Income Program, or OSIP, those programs are up slightly than what we forecasted during session by $500,000. If you turn the page over, continuing in SDSD, we need additional limitation for matching increased local expenditures by area agencies on aging. These are not part of our long-term care program. These are local funds that they raise or generate locally. We're able to match that through the Medicaid program, and then we send the total back to the local area, and they use it for the various functions they have surrounding their responsibilities under the Older Americans Act. And it's really just a mechanism to make more funds available through the matching process. So they, in this case, are sending us $2.3 million. We match that with $4.7 million and return the full $7 million back to them. We also need additional federal funds limitation to fully account for the Older Americans Act money we received in 9901. We're asking for an additional limitation there of $3 million. We have that revenue in hand. We just need the limitation to make sure we can spend it all. Finally, in health services under the Oregon Health Plan, we have just under $1.3 million general fund savings. Keep in mind this is a $2 billion program in terms of total funds, so this is a relatively small amount of money to end the biennium on, but we have increased revenues to offset the need for general fund through the premiums and drug rebates. We have some increased fee for service costs. And then we have some accounting adjustments in the Medicare buy-in program, which is a non-OHP program, and the net result of that is about $1.3 million worth of savings. In addition, we have savings of about $730,000 in our DSERS. This is an information systems project we've had under development. We haven't spent all the funds for that program that we had planned to in 9901, and that frees up a little bit of general fund. Then the next item is related to the complicated issue I talked about first. Here's what's happening on the OMAP side. That general fund comes into OMAP. We use it, spend it as general fund, the $3.88 million, and then we offset the need for tobacco tax revenue, which is then moved into the next biennium. And finally, on a related issue, all the remaining general fund that we have on the bottom line after we do all the adjustments for this closeout, which is a little over $1 million, we do the same thing. We use it as general fund and carry the tobacco tax forward into the next biennium. Then that will be available to you to deal with 0103 issues, of which there are a number of them, not only within us, with other folks. So that is a summary of the closeout, Madam Chair.
Any questions for Mr. Wilson?
Nice job.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm George Naughton with the Department of Administrative Services. Since the time this letter came in, there was one technical adjustment in that we had to increase the amount of federal funds and reduce the amount of other funds for this request. What has happened with that is that it has made that the amount that we need for federal fund limitation has increased. The net position of the Department on other funds is they actually need less than what we originally thought they would need. There are two approaches to deal with this. The approach that we have taken is to reduce the other fund limitation and unschedule it. The other option you can do is you can look at that, increase the federal funds as we need it, and just ignore the reductions in other funds since we're at the end of the biennium anyway. With that said, our recommendation is to modify the request to transfer the general fund appropriations, increase the net federal funds expenditure limitation by $7.3 million, unschedule a net other funds expenditure limitation of $4.3 million to close out the Department of Human Services budget for this biennium.
Any questions? Ms. Baker.
Thank you. To carry on the other alternative, which Mr. Naughton identified, the legislative fiscal office recommendation is to do something other than the budget and management recommendation. We as well would approve the general fund transfers that were presented. Because the emergency board doesn't have authority per se to reduce other and federal funds, and because it is the end of the biennium, and although normally in a rebalance we would ask that you ask Department of Administrative Services to unschedule other and federal fund instead of reducing it, at this point, because it is the end of the biennium, we felt that was not an exercise we needed to go through. And so our recommendation, although we recommend acknowledging the other funds and federal funds reductions as shown in our analysis in the chart on the bottom of that page, in terms of the actual statutory changes to appropriations, we would recommend the actions on the attachment, which is, again, to approve the general fund transfers between the divisions and program offices, and then add limitation as needed for other and federal funds. But basically, recognize that where there are reductions in other and federal funds, they will just have excess limitation, and it's the end of the biennium, and so it's not really an issue. So that summarizes our recommendation. I would make a note, in addition to the $5 million in tobacco tax savings that the department identified as being carried forward, there's also as part of this closeout plan, there's an additional $2 million in child support revenues and $4.8 million more in temporary assistance to needy family revenues that have been identified as being available to carry forward. So there's a total of $11.8 million that's moving forward and will be available for 2001-2003. And as Mr. Wilson said, there will be further discussion of that when you get to the rebalance report. But that is a significant chunk of change moving forward that hadn't been identified earlier on.
Any questions? You have a motion?
Yeah. Representative Chair, for no particular reason, I guess I'll move the LFO recommendation as opposed to the DAS recommendation, since both accomplish the same objective, and that would be to approve the general fund transfers and add limitation for the other fund and federal limitations.
Thank you. Any objections? Thank you. Okay, moving on. I'll carry it, I guess. Thank you. Item 16, mental health system planning. Good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Margie Johnson, and I am the Deputy Assistant Director for Health Services with the department. During the last interim, the governor established a mental health realignment work group, which was charged with the goal of looking at the mental health system across the whole state in a very comprehensive and planful manner. The task force was formed. It involved about 50 people. They met over the course of about a year during the interim, and the result of their work was a comprehensive report that was delivered to the governor in January of 2001 with a number of recommendations about the scope and the issues that confronted our mental health system in the state. The first and most important recommendation was that the state do a comprehensive plan process that would be managed at the county level that would reflect a very comprehensive look at the system and what the system's needs were. The result of that recommendation was the passage of House Bill 3024 by the last session of the legislature, which established this planning process and put into statute a number of criteria that these plans needed to address. In recognition of the comprehensiveness of this process, the legislature also passed House Bill 5014, which included an appropriation that was a special purpose appropriation of the emergency fund of $7.5 million. $1 million of that appropriation was for the purpose of funding that planning process at the county level. The $6.5 million remaining million was available to fund services that would be identified as a result of those plans and would be available to counties in the final year, in the 2002-03 year of the biennium, for a beginning funding of the services that were identified as a part of the planning process. Staff from our agency have been meeting with folks from the counties, from the Association of Community Mental Health Program Directors, and have reached agreement on a allocation methodology for that $1 million, which you see in the letter. We have distributed the guidelines for these plans that are to be produced by March 1st of 2002. Those went to the counties about a week ago. We've tried to focus the emphasis that we are requiring the counties to report on into four main areas, and those areas are consumer-centered community-based services, consumer-centered intensive services, and suicide prevention activities, as well as juvenile and adult corrections. We've done this in an effort to try to simplify as much as possible what will still be quite a comprehensive planning process. So I am here today to request that you release the $1 million and make it available for the department to distribute to the counties to augment their planning efforts at the local level.
Any questions?
Madam Chair, George Naughton with DHS. You recognize the importance of this request, but in light of the economic situation for the state, we're recommending that you defer it until the development of a statewide rebalance plan.
Any questions? Ms. Baker?
Thank you. Legislative Fiscal Office also recommends deferral for the same reasons, to give time to develop a picture of where we are on the statewide budget and what the plans